right, this morning, positioning for influence. Let's look at getting our lives into position unmistakably so we can influence our world for good and for God. To see the hand of God around our lives in such a way that there's no dispute that Jesus has risen and he's fiercely interested in humankind. Over the years of being alive, I've noticed that positioning is everything. It doesn't matter if it's in real estate, location, location, location. It doesn't matter if it's in sports, it's all about being in the right position. Battlefields, wars are won by the positioning of troops and resources. Everything moves in and out on positioning. You can be in the wrong place at the right time. Wrong place, right? It's your time, but you went to the wrong street address for the party. Right time, wrong place. Remember Jonah? It was his time. God chose him, but he went to the wrong place. Or you can just be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Just exactly where Goliath was just before David cut off his head. Wrong place, wrong time. What I'm saying this morning is our position determines our outcomes. And understand this, our spiritual positioning determines our spiritual outcomes. God doesn't have favorites. He doesn't look at us, you know what, you're awesome. Gonna bless you, love you, not a chance. God doesn't have favorites. Therefore, if we're not receiving all we have or in a place of where God wants us, maybe it's not about God not trying to get something to us. Maybe we're just out of position to receive what he has. Spiritual positioning is everything. So if we're going to receive what God has for us so we can do what he's called us to do, then we must be in the right position. So I believe we should determine to live in the right place at the right time, right in the middle of God's favor, blessing, and advancement, positioned under an open heaven so God's love and God's power can flow in us and he can flow through us. David left home a shepherd boy, but he came back a giant killer. Right place, right time, positioned to save his generation from their enemies. That's positioning for influence. And as a church, we must position ourselves in the right place. In the days that we live in, the church has never been more needed to keep spiritual and moral values intact. Be assured right now, our moral and spiritual values are under attack at every level. And we need to make sure that we're standing strong and powerful in the day to resist the works of the enemy. For we are the church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. That's what we're called to do, to make a difference, to be the light, to be salt, to bring answers. So this morning, I'll look at some key principles that I've found to position ourselves so we can receive all that God has, so we can do all that God's called us to do. Number one is this. We need to have and contain a spirit of flexibility. I want you to hear this. As spirit-led believers, we need to be flexible in our soul and our spirit that when God speaks, we can move. Everybody says, God, speak to me. Oh, no, not about that. God, what do you want me to do? No, but I don't want to do that. And we're saying, God, tell us, but then we've got to have a spirit of flexibility. Then when he speaks, we do listen. That when he tells us, we're able to move in that direction. We need to keep our soul and our spirit flexible. One of the saddest things that I've noticed over the years were the radicals of the last move of God in the 70s and 80s that broke through, that lifted their hands above their waist, that moved their feet in church and sung in an unknown tongue, and they were the most radical bunch of believers. Sadly, they've become the stalwarts of the next move of God, because we lose our spirit of flexibility. And we're not to lose that because we lose our ability to move when God says to move. How flexible are you? How can you move? I mean, you don't want to be, I'm off to Alaska in a couple of weeks' time, and I'm going salmon fishing in Alaska. And they promised me that I will see grizzly bears. That's why I'm going. I want the photo. Me with a salmon and a grizzly bear. Not too close. I don't want the whole running away bit, but close enough. But in Alaska, they have the huskies, the dogs that mush. They're all tied together. You don't want to be so stuck in a rut that your view. Those dogs, that second, third, and fourth husky. Every morning they wake up, their view never changes. Oh dear Jesus. Every morning, the view, you don't want to be so stuck in a rut that your view never changes. Consistency is extremely important, but not to the extent that anything new or different throws your world into chaos. You know, I've got people whose world have been thrown into chaos because we've changed the parking lot. They're so confused. I can't believe this. Look, where do I park now? There's different parking lots. You don't want to lose that spirit of flexibility to be able to move when the Spirit of God is taking the church in a new direction, moving us into a new place. Don't be that one that's got stuck in the rut and that the view never changes. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Let's see how flexible you are. When was the last time? Maybe you went down a different street to work. Maybe you tried a different food group. The amount of people that I take out and get them to taste Japanese food, raw fish, that they all hated until they tried it. And now they love it. And when was the last time you did, maybe you wear your watch on a different arm. Isn't it funny, I wear a watch but never tell the time on my watch. If you ask me what's the time, I pull my phone out. Yeah, it's 10:58. But have you worn it differently? I mean, if you're married, have you changed sides with your marriage partner in the bed? No one's that radical, are they? No, I didn't think so. I guess they're all pushing that too far. Yeah, no, we're not doing that. Imagine if you did that. You change sides, you boom, bump up in the morning. Oh, good morning. You know, when was the last time you did something for the first time? Because it's a spirit of flexibility that positions us to receive the great things that God has for us. Look at the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. And it's a story of Peter, a fisherman, who'd been out all night and had caught no fish. Anybody else fish like that? All night, no fish. Jesus turns up in the morning and says, let's go fishing. And Peter's automatic response was, well, look, I've been out all night. My hands are bruised. My eyes are red. There's nothing out there. I'm a fisherman. Now, this story is not about the miracle of the harvest, though that happens. This story is about somebody's spirit of flexibility. It's whether that person will be flexible enough to hear the words of the Savior and then adjust accordingly. That's what this story is really about. It's right here. He could have said, nah, look, I'm done, man. I've tried that. I've been out all night. There's nothing out there. Forget it. I'm going home. I'm going to bed. It's all done. Man, I've been to church for years. I never got my miracle. I never had that happen to me. I've done that. I've tried that. That didn't work for me. But I want to tell you, at any moment, God can move on your behalf. And if you're not flexible, this story is about a spirit of flexibility. He could have said, no, I'm done, but not what Peter says. You know what Peter says? He says, at your word, let it be. At your word, all right? There's nothing out there, and I've tried, and I've done everything I know how. And man, if you want to go out there and go fishing, Jesus, come on, let's go. It was about a spirit of flexibility that led to one of the greatest harvest stories in the New Testament. If you know the end of the story, they go out fishing. He throws in his net again, and from nothing, I'm telling you, every fish in about 2 kilometers just stopped, turned, and in one accord chanted, let's die for Jesus. Charges the boat. They're almost sinking. There's so many fish hitting the nets. Then another great miracle takes place. Not only are they catching thousands of fish, they actually tell the other fishermen that the fish are biting over here. I've never seen that. Never. I mean, when the fish are on, you can have a fish on your line. And then anybody? No, nothing here. No fish here. No, nothing. Here's a miracle. Come on, they're biting right here. You see, it all happened because Peter positioned himself out of a spirit of flexibility. Today, we've got to make sure that our soul and our heart is flexible enough that when God speaks, we're able to listen. And if God says, we're able to move. Pride is an attitude of resistance towards change, and God resists the proud. Number two, you need courage to seize your moments, or you will miss the blessing. There's no doubt in the day that we live in, we need a church of believers with courage and faith around their lives. You see, the opportunity of a lifetime only lasts the lifetime of the opportunity. The opportunity of a lifetime only lasts a lifetime. Everything has an end date to it. None of you are getting younger. As a matter of fact, I've been here 15 years and some of you are getting really old. As am I. 15 years later. There is an end date to this. There is a declaration date where we're no longer a part of what's going on. The opportunity of a lifetime only lasts the lifetime of that opportunity. This is all you get. This is your shot. This is your moment in history to bring heaven to earth for your generation. If you don't do it, you're not gonna be a part. You're gonna miss the moment that you live. You know, many Christians live life, and they don't think it like consciously, but subconsciously they live like life like this. You know, I'm just gonna play it cool for Jesus, but when I come back next time, I'm gonna be a radical. I get really bad news. There is no next time. You're not a movie series called Jaws. Jaws 1, 2. Jaws 12 is coming out. They've renamed it to Gummy. He doesn't bite. He just lays on the bottom and sucks people to death. You're not Sylvester Stallone, Rocky 17. Even with steroids, you're not going to make it to 17. This is it. This is your shot. Many people avoid challenges and risk and to play safe. And it's a bit risky. I don't want to get too involved there. I don't want to get too radical there. That's a bit dangerous. Just so they can get to the end of their life and die safely. It's not about when we die as important as what we did while we were alive. That's the important thing. This is your shot. You need courage to seize your moment. Don't be almost persuaded. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is in Acts chapter 26, verse 28. And it's the story of King Agrippa, and Paul had been sharing Jesus with him. And at the end of hearing what Paul had to say, King Agrippa's response is this: "Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian." Man, I hear the great things about the God that you speak about. I understand this Jesus. I can see life and love and power and hope in him. But you almost, he just didn't have the courage to seize his moment. Don't walk out of here today with, Pastor Mark, almost. He almost persuaded me to stand up. He almost persuaded me to get more involved. He almost persuaded me to be more exciting about the Jesus that saved me. He almost persuaded me to help somebody. Don't be the almost person. Have the courage to seize your moments. In contrast, in the book of Luke, chapter 5, there's a story about four guys, verse 18 through 20, about some guys who had a paralyzed friend from birth. The Bible says he's never been able to walk. These friends heard that there was a healer coming to town. His name was Jesus. He was the Messiah. He was going to be speaking and healing people. They heard the news and they grabbed their friend and said, "You know what? This is our moment. This is our chance. This is our opportunity. Let's go." They pick up their friend. They drag him down the road to the house where Jesus is at. And as they get there, all excited, their excitement turns to desperation because it's packed. There's security, media, helicopters. You can't get close. It's impossible to get in. Now, their moment comes. Either they lack courage or they seize their moment. Unlike King Agrippa, it says, "You almost persuaded me." They look down and say, "You know what? There's got to be a way." But they could have went, "Look, sorry, man. Look, we can't. Nothing." But they didn't. They picked up their friend. They snuck past security, got around the back of the house, got to the roof and started ripping the roof apart while Jesus was inside speaking. Obviously, it was the youth group. They were destroying things. And they're pulling the roof apart. Things falling down. I want you to see this. You've got to see God's response to this, or Jesus' response in this. It wasn't, "What the? Hey, you kids, get off the roof." That was not his response at all. You see, God responds to faith and to courage. He responds to people that go beyond the boat's edge and start to walk on the water. You know, people, they get, "Mark, Man, there's kids outside with skateboards, and there's broken window every now and then, and there's gum under the seats, and look at the paint off the walls back there because the kids, and like I'm going to get upset. It's easy to patch up walls with a bit of paint. It's easy for me to fix a new window. I'd rather have kids here than anywhere else in the world. I don't mind if they break things. It doesn't worry me too much because I'd rather them in the house of God because God responds to them being in the house of God. You know, as a matter of fact, they had a big amplified here one year and there were some really bad kids here. And I've got a downstairs outside toilet down here and they destroyed it. And the youth pastor was so upset, Sam Gunn, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And I said, Sam, this is awesome. I said, I've wanted to redo that for years. Now the insurance is paying for it. This is great. You know, like, Jesus' response wasn't, hey, you kids, get off the roof. Why, man, get rid of your skate. Don't stop breaking things. His response was, your faith just got your friend healed. Your courage by going past the line and walking in front of me just got your friend healed. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your up. Don't. Well, maybe you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus. You've come and here you are, and I'd hate you to leave almost persuaded to be a Christian this morning. God, you've come looking for answers and for hope, and you're in this place right now and you're hearing things and feeling things. And listen, you're in the right place. You're looking towards the right answer. His name is Jesus Christ. And if we receive him into our hearts and into our lives, he promises, the word of God promises, that he would never leave us, forsake us, never let us down. He would be with us now and forever. He is your hope. All you need to do is open your life up to him. Don't leave this. Why don't you take this off? Don't miss your moment. The third thing this morning to position you is have an expectant attitude. Have an expectant attitude. Expect God to move on your behalf. Expect your prayers to be answered. Expect divine appointments. Expect favor. Expect breakthrough. I love it as a believer that at any moment I can move out of a natural situation into a supernatural realm. At any moment, God can turn up and do the impossible where before it seemed impossible. I love it that any time God can stand and we pray and stage four cancer gets healed. I love it that if you keep coming, well, you might not have got your healing yet, but don't give up on it. Don't stop because it didn't happen one. Don't be like Peter could have been and said, you know, I've done that, I've tried. No, don't do that. Just say, at your word, Jesus. And if you keep living by his word, eventually great things start to happen. Let's make sure that we expect God to move on our behalf. Look, expectancy is like a magnet. It's like a magnet in your heart. And listen, whatever you expect long enough eventually turns up, good or bad. Your expectancy is like a magnet. What you expect is drawn to you. Yeah, yeah. You hear people say this all the time. No, I knew that would happen to me. Why? Because they expect it to happen to them. Man, you know, that always happens to me. Why? Because they expect it to happen. You know, expect the right things because it's like a magnet for the right things. When I drive into a parking or a mall, a parking lot, I expect really good parking spots. I do expect them. Let me tell you how expectancy works. If you don't expect them, you don't even go look for them. You just sit down, there's going to be nothing at the front. I'll just park here. But because you expect them, you move in a certain direction. And you go closer and have a look. Now, it doesn't mean there's one there every time, but there's a lot more chance you're going to get one if you go there. Expectancy points you in the right direction or focuses you in a place to receive the things that God might have for you. So you need to expect God to turn up. You need to expect favor and breakthrough. Expect those things. And more than likely, if that expectancy is working, you're going to find God bless you. It positions you to receive in a powerful way. A couple of scriptures, I'm not going to go through them this morning for the sake of time. But Acts chapter 3, 4 through 6, and Acts 4, 29 through 31, great expectancy scriptures. Number 4, get good at being led by the Holy Spirit. I want you to hear that. I didn't say just have the Holy Spirit. I said get good at being led by the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference between having something and being led by something. You have a pet, you're not led by the pet. People have the Holy Spirit, but do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you? Big difference. And we need to fine-tune our spiritual ears and our hearts to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Look at Pastor Jake this morning, sensing a word from the Holy Spirit, prophesies to a person who's never been in our church before, first day, been on the campus, yes they have, yes, the worst time of their life, yes it was, yes their car broke down, and his name was Jake Smith in South Africa. And that's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. He's come all the way from South Africa to meet another Jake Smith because you probably had a word. To hear the Spirit of God gives you, listen, the Holy Spirit knows all things. The Holy Spirit sees all things. Therefore, the more we can hear the Holy Spirit, the better our decision-making process will be. The more we can speak life, the more we can receive life if we get good. And the best way to get good at hearing the Holy Spirit, listen to this, is to read your Bible. The best way to get good at hearing the Holy Spirit, the Word of God was not meant to be written on pages, it was supposed to be written on the tablets of a human heart. And the more you know the Word of God, the more you can hear the voice of God speak to you when you're no longer reading the Word of God. It's hearing the Holy Spirit. We need to fine-tune our ability to hear what He's saying and then respond to His leadings because they are the way of life. I was snowboarding down in New South Wales a few years back, and there was me, another pastor, and our youth pastor at the time. We were on a lift. And we're going back up to the top of Perisher, is that a, yeah, Perisher? And we're going up the top. And as we're going up on the lift, we're sort of talking about the day. And then we watch these two guys ski down underneath us, one right behind one. And they were going really fast. But the amazing thing was that as they're going, the guy at the back's yelling at the guy at the front. We could hear him. He's going, left, left, straight, straight, right, right. And this guy in front would just do exactly what this guy said. What is that? Anyway, the youth pastor got so excited, he decided to get involved. So he started yelling out, left, left, no, go straight, go straight. He thought it was hilarious. Anyway, we didn't know what was going on, and maybe 20 minutes later, we somehow caught up to them at the top of the mountain. They're going slow through the crowd now. The guy at the back still going left, not as loud, but left, left, right. We slid past them, and we looked back, and the guy at the front, he's got a sign on his coat, and it said "blind skier." So this guy is racing down a mountain on skis, controlled not by his eyes but by one voice. The youth pastor has an epiphany. I could have killed him. If he listened to me, he could have gone off a cliff. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But that blind skier had so fine-tuned his ears to one voice that amidst all the other voices yelling opinions at him, all the other voices saying, you're not going to make it, all the other voices saying, you're blind, you can't do this, go this way, go that way. But he had so fine-tuned his ears to one voice. So all those other voices meant nothing, and because he could hear that one voice clear and loud, he was able to get down him the twists and turns of his journey. Can I tell you today, church, if you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in amongst all the other voices yelling at you, you too will find yourself at the end of your journey through all the ups and downs and lefts and rights that go on in life. If we get good at hearing the Holy Spirit. Don't just have the Holy Spirit. Get good at hearing. Acts 9, verses 11 and 12, a guy called Ananias. Should have called him Jake Smith. God speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, Ananias, I want you to go to a certain house, a certain street. There's a certain guy there, he's blind. His name's Jake Smith. But he's a South African. And he says, no, his name is Paul. I want you to pray for him. His eyes will be healed. He'll receive the Holy Spirit. And because this man could hear the Holy Spirit, we have the Apostle Paul writing most of the New Testament. Somebody that was able to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't just have the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. It positions you to receive the great things that God has for you. I remember one other time, Pastor George Saloom, who's speaking at our North Campus this morning, left here on a Sunday night, just usually Sunday night after church, driving how he usually drives home. And there's a car parked down the side of the road here in Scrub Road. And as he drove past, he saw it, didn't take any notice. About 100 metres up the road, he felt the Spirit of God say, you need to turn around and go back. He's going, oh, it's late. Man, I've been to church all day. There's nothing. No, the Holy Spirit says, no, you need to turn around. And because he was able to hear the voice of the Spirit, and had a spirit of flexibility, so you can hear the voice, God speak to me, but I'm busy. And he turned around, he came back. As he pulled up behind the car, he realized the car was running. It was stationary, but it was running. And as he got out, he noticed there was a plastic tube from the exhaust pipe around to the window, and the guy inside was committing suicide with the exhaust fumes of his own car. George was able to smash the window, call 000, and they saved his life, all because somebody heard the voice of the Spirit and had a spirit of flexibility to say, you know what, if that's you, God, why don't you take the chance sometimes that may be the voice of God and just respond that way. Last thing this morning, is this helping anybody? Man, come on, that's what I'm talking about. We're so reserved Australians, aren't we? I speak in a church in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's an African-American church, 16,000 people, and I was the only white person in the building. Oh, so there's another one who's a really bad dancer. He really stuck out, you know, like, oh, stop dancing, please. Man, all I've got to say the name of Jesus when they stand on their feet and they shout and they cheer. It's such a different world, hey? Australia, mm-hmm, yeah, great. Good. We're so funny. I'm just as bad. I'm not blaming anybody. It's just so funny. Good. Yeah, it was good. Best message I've ever heard. Yeah, good. God's changed my life. Awesome. Love it, Mark. Fifth positioning tactic I've learned is that you plant seed for right positioning. I want to thank everybody for their incredible generosity through our general tithes and offerings and our Faith, Love and Hope weekend. Honestly, that weekend was one of the most significant weekends of my year. I sense God's presence at a greater level through not what I'm doing, but what I feel from the people. And if you missed it, we've still got our cross there on the way out. You can take the prayer requests or the praise reports in the pockets in front of you and put them on the cross, nail them up there. If you want to do Faith, Love and Hope offering, you can do it online, of course, but you can take those Faith, Love and Hope offering and stick it in the urn that's there or put it in the containers that go around. Either way, but don't miss it. If you weren't here for that weekend, be a part of it. It's just something very special. But you plant seed for positioning, and people don't often realize this. Generosity always positions you for blessing and influence. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says it best. It says, let us not grow weary. I love that statement. Don't grow weary in doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We shall reap if we do not lose heart. This doesn't mean there's going to be season after season of reaping. There's a season of sowing. There's a season of barrenness sometimes. But if we don't lose heart, if we don't grow weary, the due season positions you to come. It comes back to you. My future is not determined by your giving. My future is determined by my giving. I have no doubts about that. It always sets me up. As a matter of fact, I carry cash in my wallet so I'm able to be generous at a moment. It's really hard to be generous with a debit card. You want? You need some cash? Oh, sure. Oh, all I got is my... Well, here it is. Here's my PIN number. You're not going to do that. So I carry cash so I'm able to be generous at levels that I can. And I love the idea of being able to contribute off the spur of the moment that God speaks to me and do that because I so believe in the power of positioning through generosity. I so believe that I will never have less because of my generosity, that there's a due season always coming back my way at a greater level. I remember a few years back here, there was a little boy come up to me after I was talking to his family, and he's about 4 or 5 at the time, and his tooth had fallen out. And he says, Pastor Mark, he says, my tooth's fallen out. I said, wow. And he says, the tooth fairy's going to give me $2. All of you have tooth fairies? Yeah. And anyway, and I'm thinking, I will never be outdone by a tooth fairy. No, it's never going to happen. So I said, $2. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $20 for that tooth. He looked at me with the biggest, gummiest smile you've ever seen. He handed over the tooth. I gave him his $20. You know what? He doesn't give a rip about tooth fairies. They're stingy and a waste of time. The house of God is where the blessing is. $20, that was all, man. The house, he was a disciple right there. He went home that afternoon and renamed his teddy bear to Pastor Mark for $20. Well, actually, it cost me a lot more than $20 because when the word got out, for the next month, I had kids lined up with their teeth. Cost me about $200 that month, I think, in teeth. And as I shared this story in the last service, it sounds like it's going to cost me more money. Somebody said, my kids just lost four teeth. That's anything you heard in the whole message. $80. Sorry. Four teeth. I'll bring them next week. That'd be great. Thank you. The generosity always positions you to receive what God has for you. It's a positioning thing. It's not, you know, it's not, see, people get generous. It's not about, you know, it's about positioning yourself. The book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 4, talks about 10 virgins. And it says, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. If you read that passage, you'll notice that the foolish were called foolish because they were out of position. They were found out of position. And the 5 that were called wise were found in position. The bridegroom was coming back. He was going to take them all away. The 5 that were wise were in position. They were there when he came and he took them away. The 5 that were foolish weren't there. They were out of position. But the point is why were they out of position? That's the real factor here. What kept them out of position? What got the other ones in position? Well, it says the ones that were in position had lamps, and their lamps were full of oil. It was burning bright and shiny. And every time you talk about oil and lamps in the New Testament, it talks about the flow of God, the anointing of God, the purposes of God. So they had been about the Father's business. They'd been generous, they'd been involved, doing all the right things and giving and all that stuff. So their lamp was full. It was right, it was burning bright. The ones that had not been generous, the ones that were not around the Father's business, they decided their lamps were empty and they're off doing last minute good deeds. They were running around trying to fill their lamps up at the last minute for the wrong reason. And while they are out of position, the groom comes back and he takes away the one. Listen, your generosity always positions you for the Father. It always places you in the right position to receive. Book of Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says when you bring your tithes into the storehouse, your offerings, it says it positions you under an open heaven. It positions you. It's all about positioning. And when you give, you open. It positions you under an open heaven. Positioning in the Spirit is everything for blessing yourself and influence for others. How's your spirit of flexibility? Have you become tight and rigid, so locked in that God couldn't move you with a sledgehammer? You've got to keep free. Courage. Have you drawn back and pulled out of life a little bit because things got a little tough? Are you expecting really God to move on your behalf, or is it a hope and a wish? Hope he turns up. Wish he would. But you would expect God to move on your behalf. Have you spent time being led by the Holy Spirit? Not just having him, but hearing his voice. Are you planting seed? Generosity. We have a generation that needs Jesus Christ. Let's position ourselves for God to do great things in us and to do great things through us.